Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents His Second Chance by Melissa McClone. Narrated by Angie Hickman. Chapter 1. Dr. Cullen Gray trudged to the Y.E. Stay Lodge, his sore feet entombed in climbing boots he couldn't wait to remove. His muscles ached after two grueling days on Mount Hood. But whatever he'd been through was worth the tiredness and pain. A climber had been rescued. That trumped a night spent in a warm, comfy bed, a hot shower in the morning, and a homemade breakfast complete with scrambled eggs, chicken apple sausage, and buttermilk pancakes with huckleberry syrup. The smell of coffee wafted in the air, the aroma tickling Cullen's cold nose and teasing his hungry, grumbling stomach. A jolt of caffeine would keep him going long enough to survive the rescue debriefing and the short drive home to Hood Hamlet. 20 feet in front of him, volunteer members of Oregon Mountain Search and Rescue, OMSAR, sat at a long cafeteria table with coffee cups in front of them. Backpacks, helmets, and jackets were scattered on the floor. Almost there. Cullen couldn't wait to take off his backpack and sit, if only for the length of the debriefing. He passed a group of teenagers, students at the Hood Hamlet Snowboarding Academy, who laughed while they took a break from riding. A little girl, around 6 years old and dressed in pink from her helmet to her ski boots, wobbled away from the hot chocolate machine, holding a cup with both hands. A few hours ago, a life had hung in the balance, cocooned inside a rescue litter attached by cables to a hovering helicopter. But down here, lower on the mountain, everything had continued, as if what run to take on the slopes was the most important decision of the day. He preferred being up there, though not because of any element of danger or adrenaline rush. He took only calculated risks to help others and save lives. Cullen lived simply in the quaint, alpine-inspired village of Hood Hamlet. Work and the mountain comprised his life. Sometimes the two were enough. Other times they weren't even close. But days like today reminded him why he did what he did, both as a doctor and a volunteer mountain rescuer. Satisfaction flowed through his veins. A successful mission. It didn't get much better than that. Well, unless the climber hadn't fallen into the Bergschrön crevasse to begin with. But given the distance of the fall, the climber's serious injuries, and the technical nature of the rescue, Cullen thought Christmas magic, something Hood Hamlet was famous for, had been at play, even though it was May, not December. Either that or plain old dumb luck. Cullen preferred thinking Christmas magic had been involved. Luck seemed too random. He might be a doctor, but living here for almost a year had opened his mind. Not everything could be explained and proven scientifically. Patients did sometimes defy their diagnoses and survive with no logical explanation. As soon as he reached the table, he shrugged off his backpack. Gear rattled inside. Carabiners clinked on the outside. With the straps off his shoulders, relief shot straight to his toes. The pack thudded against the floor. The sound echoed throughout the cafeteria, drawing a few glances from the skiers, riders, and tourists. Let them look. Complain, even. Nothing could ruin his day. He removed his black parka with the white block letters spelling rescue on the sleeve, tucked it under one of the outside straps of his pack, and then sat. His feet felt as if they were sighing in delight at not having to support any weight.
Nice work up there, Doc.
Bill Paulson, another OMSAR member, sat on the opposite side of the table. He passed Cullen a cup of coffee from the extra sitting between them.
What you did in the Bergschrön to save that guy's life.
Cullen bent over to loosen his boots. He didn't want anyone fussing over his actions, let alone another mountain rescuer. He didn't need the praise. The result, a life saved, was payback enough.
All in a day's work. Maybe in the emergency department, but not inside a crevasse.
Paulson raised his cup.
I'm buying the first round at the brew pub tonight.
A beer was in order after this mission.
You're on.
Zoe Hughes, the beautiful wife of OMSAR team leader Sean Hughes and an associate member of the unit herself, stood behind Cullen. Want anything? Heat from the coffee cup warmed his cold fingers.
This is all I need.
Let me know when you want a refill. Her blue eyes sparkled. Rumor has it you were a real hero up there today. He shifted in his seat. Some considered mountain rescue a reckless pursuit, but nothing could be further from the truth. Rescuer safety was the priority, no matter what the mission.
Just doing my job.
She touched his shoulder. Sean doesn't think he's a hero either. But you're all heroes. What you guys do, who you are, is the very definition of the word.
That's why we always get the girls, Paulson winked. You're going to be my wingman tonight, Gray. We're going to get so many numbers we'll max out the memories on our cell phones.
Paulson, a firefighter with the Hood Hamlet Fire and Rescue, had a reputation of being a player. No one would accuse Cullen of that. He never expected to be living like a monk, but he had a good reason. One that would end soon enough. Until then. He stared into his coffee, black and strong, fighting memories and resentment. Going out and doing anything other than drinking a beer and eating a burger didn't appeal to Cullen. The one woman he wanted didn't want him. Time to move on. He understood that, had even come to terms with it. But he saw no reason to frustrate or tempt himself with something he couldn't have right now. He lifted his cup.
You'll get those phone numbers whether I'm there or not. True that, Paulson agreed. But think of the fun we'll have together. Just so you know, I'm partial to blondes, though I don't mind brunettes or redheads.
Zoe shook her head, her long hair swaying. One of these days, Bill, you're going to have to grow up and realize women weren't put on this planet solely for your enjoyment. Paulson flashed her a charming grin.
Not going to happen.
Zoe grimaced. Too bad, because love does conquer all.
Love stinks, Paulson countered.
Cullen would echo the sentiment if he didn't need more caffeine. He sipped his coffee. Sometimes. A sigh seemed poised to float away from her lips at any moment. At other times, it's pure magic.
Yeah, right.
Cullen drank more. Love caused nothing but heartache and pain. He'd stick with Christmas magic. Zoe went to refill someone else's cup. The din of conversation increased, and so did the number of people in the cafeteria. More rescue team members arrived. A photographer snapped pictures. Someone placed a plate of cookies on the table. Briefing time must be close. He checked his watch.
What's taking so long?
Paulson grabbed a chocolate chip cookie from the plate.
Hughes must be outside talking to reporters.
Cullen wasn't a big fan of the media, due to the way they covered and dramatized rescue missions on Mount Hood. Whenever anything went down on the mountain, reporters and news trucks raced to the rescue operations base at Timberline Lodge, eager to capitalize on some poor soul's misfortune to increase ratings, webpage hits, or circulation. His stomach growled. He reached for an oatmeal raisin cookie.
Better Hughes than me. I want no part of that feeding frenzy.
Paulson snickered.
Once the press finds out who was lowered into the Bergschrund, how about we say it was you?
Cullen bit into his cookie.
I'm game, Paulson said, especially if the hot blonde reporter from Channel 9 wants to talk to me again.
Cullen took another bite. Tasted like one of Carly Porter's cookies. Her husband had been on the mission, too. Jake owned the local Hood Hamlet Brewing Company. A pint of Porter's Y East Lager with Paulson buying would hit the spot tonight.
Sheriff's Deputy Will Townsend approached the table with Sean Hughes at his side. Concern clouded their gazes. Worry was etched in their features. Cullen wrapped his hands around his coffee cup. He hoped the climber's condition hadn't worsened on the helicopter ride or at the hospital. The guy was married with two young kids. Hey, Doc. Will tipped his deputy's hat. Cell phone off? Battery died. Cullen wondered what his phone had to do with anything. He placed his cup on the table. Not a lot of places to recharge up there. Will's eyebrows drew together. We've been trying to reach you. Cullen's throat tightened. He recognized the serious tone and steady cadence. He'd used both when delivering bad news at the hospital. What's going on? You're listed as Sarah Purcell's emergency contact. Hearing the name startled Cullen. His coffee spilled, spreading across the table. Sorry. Paulson grabbed napkins. No worries, Doc, I've got it. Cullen stood and faced the deputy. What about Sarah? Will's prominent Adam's apple bobbed up and down. There was an accident on Mount Baker. Accident? Cullen asked. A muscle twitched in Will's jaw. The details are sketchy, but it appears Sarah was at the crater rim when a steam blast occurred. She was hit by a rock and fell a significant distance. Shock reverberated through Cullen's body. His vision blurred. The world tilted sideways. A hand tightened around his arm. Steady, Doc. Hughes. Deep breaths, another voice said. Paulson. Cullen felt himself being seated. Sarah. Please, God, not her. His emotions swirled like a whirlpool. Fear and dread spiraled, one on top of the other. Nightmares from another time joined in. Images of his twin brother Blaine flashed with strobe-like intensity until Cullen thought his head would explode. He forced himself to breathe. Is she? What was happening? He was a doctor. Death was something he saw almost daily during his shifts at the hospital. But he couldn't bring himself to finish his sentence. Will leaned forward. Sarah's at a hospital in Seattle. Not dead. 100 pounds of anxiety melted away from Cullen's bone-weary shoulders. Tears of relief pricked his eyes. He hadn't seen Sarah in over a year. Cullen wanted her out of his life, but he hadn't wanted anything bad to happen to her. Will named one of the top trauma centers in the Pacific Northwest. Cullen blinked, gaining control in an instant. He'd done his residency there. Sarah would receive top-notch treatment, but he needed to make sure it was the right care. A good thing Seattle was only a 4-hour drive away. He stood, nearly toppling over before he could catch his balance. Tired. He was tired from the mission. I've got to go. Hugh steadied him. Not so fast. We've been getting updates, Will explained. Sarah is in surgery again. Again. Not good. Cullen's hands fisted. Surgery could mean anything from pinning a fracture to relieving pressure on the brain. Volcanoes weren't safe places. Being a volcanologist had put Sarah in danger before, but no serious injuries had resulted. Bumps, bruises, a few stitches. But this. Cullen dragged his hand through his hair. He was a doctor. He could handle this. Any prognosis yet? Hughes touched Cullen's shoulder with the strength of a rescue leader and the compassion of a friend. She's in critical condition. A snowball-sized lump burned in his throat. While he'd been on the mountain saving a life, Sarah had been fighting for hers.
Bitter-tasting regret coated his mouth. Oh-so-familiar guilt, too. He hadn't been able to help Blaine. Cullen had to help Sarah. He couldn't waste any more time. Sarah needed someone with her, and he was all she had. Cullen grabbed his pack.
I've got to get to Seattle.
Hughes touched his shoulder again.
Johnny Gearhart has a plane. Porter's arranging everything. I'm going to drive you home in your truck so you can change and pack a bag. Then we'll get you there. ASAP, I promise.
A protest sat on the tip of Cullen's tongue. He hadn't lived in Hood Hamlet that long, unlike several of these guys who'd grown up on the mountain. He'd climbed, skied, drunk beer, and watched sports on television with them. But he relied on himself and didn't ask for help. He didn't need help. But Sarah did. Swallowing the words he normally would have said, he tried a new one instead.
Thanks. That's what friends are for, Hugh said. Let's go.
Cullen nodded once.
I'm in.
Paulson, carrying his gear, fell into step with them.
So, Sarah, is she family? Your sister?
No,
Cullen said.
Sarah's my wife.
Chapter 2. Where am I? Sarah Purcell wanted to open her eyes, but her lids felt as if they'd been glued shut. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't pry them open. What was going on? Something pounded. It took her a minute, maybe longer, to realize the noise was coming from her head. Maybe she shouldn't try opening her eyes again. Her head wasn't the only thing hurting. Even her toenails throbbed. But the pain was a dull ache, as if it were far off in the distance. Much better than being up close and personal like a battering ram pummeling her. She'd been hurting more. A whole lot more. This was better. White. She'd been surrounded by white. Cold. She'd been so cold. But now she was warm. And dry. Hadn't she been wet? And the air, it smelled different. Strange, but it felt as if something were sticking out of her nose. Beep. 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 She didn't recognize the sound, the frequency of the tone, or the rhythm. But the consistent beat made her think of counting sheep. No reason to try opening her eyes again. Not when she could drift off to sleep.
Sarah.
The man's voice sliced through the thick fog clouding her brain. His voice sounded familiar, but she couldn't quite place him.
Not surprising, given she had no idea where she was, why it was so dark, or what the beeping might be.
So many questions. She parted her lips to speak, to ask what was going on. But nothing came out. Only a strangled, unnatural sound escaped her sandpaper-dry throat. Water. She needed water.
It's okay, Sarah, he said in a reassuring tone. You're going to be okay. Glad he thought so, whoever he might be. She wasn't sure of anything. Something told her she should care more than she did, but her brain seemed to be taking a sabbatical.
What had happened? Clouds had been moving in. A horrible noise had filled the air, swooshing, exploding, cracking. The memory of the teeth-grinding sound, worse than two cars colliding on the freeway, sent a shudder through her. A large hand covered hers. The warmth of the calloused, rough skin felt as familiar to Sarah as the voice had. Was it the same person? She had no idea, but the touch comforted and soothed. Maybe now she could sleep. Her pulse increased. Concern filled his voice. He seemed to be talking to someone else. Her lips parted. She's waking up. Not her. He couldn't mean her. Sarah wanted to sleep, not wake up. Someone touched her forehead. Not the same person still holding her hand. This one had smooth, cold skin. Clammy.
I don't see a change.
A voice she didn't recognize said. Another man.
You've been here a long time. Take a break. Eat a decent meal. Sleep in a real bed. We'll call if her condition changes.
The warm hand remained on hers, squeezed.
I'm not leaving my wife.
Wife. The word seeped through her foggy mind until an image formed and sharpened. His eyes, as blue as the sky over Glacier Peak on a clear day, had made her feel like the only woman in the world. His smile, rare to appear but generous when it did, had warmed her heart and made her want to believe happy endings might be possible, even if she'd known deep in her heart of hearts they didn't exist. His handsome face, with its high forehead, sculpted cheekbones, straight nose, and dimpled chin, had haunted her dreams for the past year. Memories rushed forward, colliding and overlapping with each other until one came into focus. Cullen. He was here. Warmth flowed through her like butter melting on a fresh from the oven biscuit. He'd come for her. Finally. Urgency gripped Sarah. She wanted, no, needed, to see him to make sure she wasn't dreaming. But the heavy curtain, aka her eyelids, didn't want to open. She struggled to move her fingers beneath his hand. It had to be Cullen's, right? Nothing happened. A different machine beeped at a lower frequency. Another machine buzzed. Cullen. Sarah tried to speak again, but couldn't. Whatever was stuck in her nose seemed to be down her throat, too. No matter. She was so thankful he was with her. She needed to tell him that. She wanted him to know how much... Wait a minute. Common sense sliced through the cotton clogging her brain. Cullen shouldn't be here. He'd agreed divorce was the best option. He no longer lived in the same town, the same state as she did. So why was he here? Sarah forced her lips apart to ask, but no sound emerged. Her frustration grew. See, Cullen said. Something's going on.
I stand corrected, Dr. Gray, the other person said. This is a very good sign. Sarah.
The anxiety in Cullen's voice surprised her as much as the concern. She tried to reconcile what she was hearing. Tried and failed. She wanted to believe he cared about her. That even if they'd both given up on the marriage, their time together hadn't been so bad he'd wanted to forget about everything. Maybe it would help if she tried to let him know that now. Sarah used every bit of strength she could muster. A slit of light appeared. So bright. Too bright. She squeezed her eyelid shut. The light disappeared as darkness reclaimed her. But the pounding in her head increased. No longer far away, the pain was in her face, as if someone were playing whack-a-mole on her forehead. She gritted her teeth, unsure if the awful growling sound she'd heard came from her. Everything felt surreal, as if she were part of some avant-garde indie film. She wanted out. Now.
It's okay, Sarah. I'm right here.
Cullen's rich, warm voice covered her like one of his grandmother's hand-sewn quilts.
I'm not leaving you.
Not true. He had left her. As soon as she'd mentioned divorce, he'd moved out of their apartment in Seattle, taking everything of his except the bed. After completing his residency, he'd moved to Hood Hamlet, Oregon. She'd finished her PhD at the University of Washington, and then accepted a postdoctorate position with MBVI, Mount Baker Volcanic Institute, in Bellingham, a town in northwest Washington. Another memory crystallized. Sarah had been developing a program to deploy additional seismometers on Mount Baker. She'd been trying to determine if magma was moving upward. She'd needed more data. Proof, one way or the other. Getting the information meant climbing the volcano and digging out seismometers to retrieve data. Putting in expensive probes that provided telemeter data didn't make sense with their limited funding and the volatile conditions near the crater. The crater. Sarah had been at the crater rim to download data onto a laptop and rebury the seismometer. She'd done that. At least she thought so. Everything was fuzzy. Apprehension rose. Anxiety escalated. The rotten egg scent of sulfur had been thick and heavy in the air. Had she retrieved the data or not? Why couldn't she remember? Machines beeped, the noise coming faster with each passing second. She tried to recall what had happened to her, but her mind was blank. Pain intensified, as if someone had cranked up the volume to full blast on a television set and then hidden the remote control.
Sarah?
His voice, sharp edge like fractured obsidian, cut through the hurting.
Try to relax.
If only she could. Questions rammed into her brain. The jackhammering in her head increased tenfold.
You're hurting, Cullen said.
She nodded. The slight movement sent a jagged pain ripping through her. Her throat burned. Her eyes stung. The air in her lungs disappeared when she exhaled. Inhaling, she could barely take in a breath. A giant boulder seemed to be pressing down on her chest.
Dr. Marshall.
Cullen's harsh tone added to her discomfort, to her fear. Air. She needed air.
On it, Dr. Gray.
Something buzzed. Footsteps sounded. Running. Wheels clattered against the floor. More voices. She couldn't hear what they were saying, nor did she care. She gasped for a breath, sucking in a minuscule amount of air. The oxygen helped. Too bad the hurting more than doubled. Make it stop. Please, Cullen. Make it. The fear dissipated. The pain dulled. The boulder was lifted off her. By Cullen? At times, he'd taken such good care of her, whether she wanted him to or not. If only he could have loved her. Floating, Sarah felt as if she were a helium-filled balloon let loose and allowed to float away into the sky. Up, up, toward the fluffy white clouds. But she didn't want to go yet. Not until... Cole?
I'm right here, Sarah.
His warm breath fanned her cheek.
I'm not going anywhere, I promise.
Promise. The word echoed through her fuzzy brain.
Promise.
They'd promised to love, honor, and cherish each other. But Cullen had withdrawn from her, putting his heart into his all-consuming work and nothing into her. He'd seemed so stable and supportive. But he wasn't as open.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?